Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never deluded, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. It's Brandi Stankovic. As you know, I'm an executive coach and motivational speaker, but I'm also a lover of pickup lines and rock and roll. And I actually think my purpose on this planet is to energize people to be the best that they can be and to help them achieve their greatest potential. And today's topic is perfect for that. We're going to talk about the spiritual side of leadership. And we have a pretty amazing guest that will be joining us very shortly. His name is Joshua Winner, and I'll tell you a little bit more about him in just a second. All right, let's get started. As you know, our podcast has three segments. We've got the learn, we've got the love, and we have the kick ass, right? In the learn section, we talk about a leadership challenge, you know, something that is facing leaders in business or maybe just everyday people that are trying to be the best they can be in their lives. And we do that in this hot box format. And really what that means is the exhale also being inhaled. Like, you know, people ask me, what is a hot box? And I'm like you don't know. From back in high school, right? Cheech and Chong kind of days. But really, it's about having real conversations in an authentic way about what's facing people and what we can do to work together to make a difference. And that's why it naturally fits into the love section. The love section. My middle name is Love, after all. And it's about connections and relationships. And we talk so much about relationships in this podcast, we will, and in others. And today, we have our special guest, our subject matter expert, that'll be here to talk with us. But then we have the kick-ass section, and probably one of the best sections that the segments here on the podcast, and that's because execution is everything. It's time to make things happen. So when it comes to the spiritual side of leadership, today I'm not talking about religion. I'm going to frame spirituality in the sense of something that I see as a bit more big picture. I'm looking at it in two ways. One is karma. And my definition of karma is about growth and personal growth and really about giving in order to have mental freedom. And really mental freedom, from my perspective, leads to mental health. And so it's this idea of karma. The second is the idea of authenticity. It's the whole self. It's being true to ourself. And so for me, spirituality is a combination of those things. It's about being good to the universe. It's the idea of karma, right? But also being true and being good to yourself in the idea of authenticity. So I'm going to kind of dig into those two sides. But when it comes to karma, I think that you need to believe in yourself. You have to believe in yourself and got to believe in the universe. Really, when someone talks about being anti-religion or being atheist or being really just down certain paths that don't support the idea that there's something greater. And I don't mean to be limiting in that statement. There are people that are anti-religion but are also very spiritual, right? So, but what I mean is that I think that there's something bigger, and I urge all people to also feel and know that there's something bigger. I mean, we're a small little speck in the universe, right? I think that one of my favorite movies ever is Tombstone. You know, for anybody listening, that you gotta remember that movie Tombstone. And Morgan, the character Morgan, said this quote. He said, "Look at all the stars. Look up. You look up and you think God made all of this, and he remembered to make a little speck like me." It's kind of flattering, really. And I love that. That to me is the idea of karma and the universe and just being aware. If I contribute, if I give, then I will be rewarded. What that looks like, you know, it will come in many forms. And that part doesn't necessarily matter, but it's the idea of giving and being aware of my purpose and my giving. And in the face of challenges, so many of us lose sight of our greater purpose or lose sight of why we're giving to the universe or giving to ourselves or giving to our charity or giving to our lives, our families, and all those pieces. And I can relate to that. When things are really hard, when we go through tragedy, when we get really frustrated, sometimes it feels like we're giving more than we get, right? And sometimes it feels like we're why should I contribute to some effort if nobody else is going to get off their ass and do it too, right? And that is frustrating. That can be impeding. It can be weighing. It can make us feel like we aren't accomplishing or people aren't supporting our efforts. But what we have to do is be able to lift some of that off. It ends up becoming emotional baggage that you don't need. An executive asked me recently that very question is why, what's in it for me? You know, like, why should I continue in an effort at this organization if nobody else is continuing the effort? And really, I think that when it comes to supporting organizations, it's about emotional tools, not necessarily how are we giving employees physical tools, tangible tools to help one another, but how are we actually giving them emotional tools? What are we doing to help them feel like they're the best that they can be to accomplish what they want to accomplish? And I think that it's really about that losing sight of your why. And so many of our, you know, kind of motivational speakers that are out there talk about focusing on the why, the purpose, your greater passion, you know, having, it can be framed in different ways, but really understanding that it's not necessarily about the right now, but it's about the greater why of why we're there. How, what our purpose is, that the grander picture of what we're going after, and how much work and legacy can be put into moments for people to get to those points. So I want to take you to the other side, and that's about being true to ourselves and authenticity. And it's that whole self. And so I think a good way to frame it is, it's like what it means to do you. So when someone says you do you, that's what I'm saying is how, what does you look like? What is the best rock star version of you, the best MVP version of you look like? And I think people, we should allow people to live in whatever space is right for them and live in, as long as it's promoting growth and love. Right? Is and being in a place of burgeoning growth and love. So I recently had an opportunity to go to Burning Man. For anybody that doesn't know, it is, there's my picture in the Grand B, and you can see what's happening in the background of the Black Rock Desert there. And it was a pretty awesome moment, but a couple things, interesting things happened for me there that I wasn't expecting. For anybody that's listening that has never heard of Burning Man, first of all, it's worth a Google, right? It will be a little rabbit hole of deliciousness that you will thank me for later. But if you have, then you know that it's all about artistic liberation and bohemianism. It's this opportunity for people to really have this to find themselves or to be their whole self. And the two things that happened for me that I wasn't anticipating were this. The first was that I lost myself a bit in going. And what I mean by that, there was so much anticipation of going, preparation, advice from people, research and lists and checklists, and this is what we should do and this is how we should do it and here's who you should hook up with and I'm going to get you with a friend of a friend that's going to do this thing and you're going to get on there, you know, yada yada. And next thing you know, we kind of lost what our style was. I was trying so hard to go with the flow that I forgot what my flow looks like, if that, you know, kind of makes any sense. And I don't like, let me give you just like a really trivial example of that is I don't wear color. I just don't. So if you've ever watched the video portion of this, then you know, well, unless you consider black a color, which I do, it's actually my favorite color, but I just don't wear anything but black. And one of the things I was trying to do when I was going to Burning Man, it's like, oh, I should wear these costumes and they should have these colors because that's what people do. And I'm going, that's just not who I am, right? And so why am I forcing that? So there was that moment of that. There was also this moment of trying to just be so relaxed, like, yeah, I'll just figure it out when I get there because everybody's just super helpful. And I, that isn't necessarily me either, right? So there's certain things that I didn't prepare for because I was going for the flow that aren't really my flow, right? So I learned that about me, that sometimes in an effort to be so flexible that you end up becoming more rigid. The second learning opportunity was that my husband and I, we actually found ourselves again. So in getting lost, we found ourselves. And I know this can be somewhat far out, but go with me in it. When we were first together, things were simpler, right? When you first meet your significant other, there's chemistry, there's simplicity, there's lives. And for some, right? For my husband and I, it definitely was the case. I mean, the biggest thing we had to worry about was the hangover we got on Wednesday from being at T-Shots too long on Tuesday night, right? I mean, give me a break. And so now with children and work and jobs and lives and blah, 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 there's so many more things to think about and to strive for, that the human beings that we've become are different than the human beings that we were in years past. And so we kind of found that original purpose that we have when we were out there. And an example of that is we had somebody to hop in the car in Reno. And when we got out to the desert, we're with this campsite of people that we didn't know, but we got hooked up through friends of friends. And they supposedly saved a spot for our car when we got out there. And then when we got there, there wasn't a spot, right? And so the person immediately jumped out of the car and hopped on this like floating spaceship or something and drove off. And then it was getting dark and I had this moment of panic, like, we don't have a parking spot and where am I? And Burning Man is very visually stimulating. So when you get there, it was a bit overwhelming for me. And I kind of had this panic and my husband's like, I got this. And he immediately he moved cars, he moved tents, he just made it happen. And I'm like, yes, that's the human being that I used to, you know what I mean? That I was so attracted to the beginning. And then the opposite side of that happened where he leaned on my role. He's not nearly as outgoing as I am. And I'm much more socially kind of comfortable. And we were at the campsite and he became a very popular person because he had some fresh glow and had some new glow sticks and things. And so one guy kind of took him under his arm and he had some strange pickle juice that we're not really sure what was actually in the pickle juice. And so my poor husband, like, he just hasn't been around the same party culture and been exposed to the same things that I have. And he's just a really sweet guy. And so he just felt bad in saying no, or just was having a tough time saying no. And I just was there. I'm like, hey, you don't have to drink the pickle juice. And it sounds silly, like in these moments or whatever, but it really reminded us of why we work, right? That in that, he's there for me. He's my man in that moment, but I'm also there and can be the social butterfly and have him be, and I'm his support in those moments as well. So it kind of brought us back to this place of grounding. And that's what I mean about being true to your whole self. And that's spirituality. And I think Burning Man gave us the opportunity to kind of find that, because getting lost allowed us to find mind. So in this transition, I'd like now to introduce you to somebody who I have known for a very long time and who's making incredible things happen. He's an entrepreneur, an investor, an advisor, certainly a very good public speaker, but he's also a filmmaker. He is the CEO and founder of Wenner Ventures Incorporated. He's also an advisor to Spare CS and Progressive Dental, co-founder at Brother One Films. So they've done The Other Side to Zero. It's in distribution, and Grief to Grace, which is in development. And he's very motivating to a lot of different businesses out there. Also a person that has an interesting and complex connection with spirituality. And he's going to share a little bit about that with us today. So please join me in welcoming Joshua Wenner. Joshua, hello.
Hey, Brandy.
How are you?
I'm amazing, and I'm super grateful to be here. I love your show, and I love what you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm excited that you're here as well. So tell us a little bit about your journey in personal growth and leadership.
Yes, I will just summarize, give you the cliff notes. So background in business and financial, and quickly got a sales background, financial background, and was very successful, I'd say, early on, and went through even my own company that I started, and we did 7 figures in about 12 months. And then shortly after, I went through, everything fell apart, and I went through the struggle, which you were just mentioning. And, you know, doing everything what I thought was right, yet everything fell apart. And in one moment, lost my business, my girlfriend, my business partner. I even had to go through a bankruptcy. So went from going up on the highs all the way through going through extreme lows. And in those times, that's when I started to develop my spiritual tools of learning to trust and have faith and surrender. And quickly went to go work with Tony Robbins, spent a couple years learning about breaking through, personal development, motivation.
An intense couple of years, I'm sure.
Yes, it was. I was full traveling across the country, training companies, sales teams, leaders, entrepreneurs on mostly business growth and organizational behavior, personal development. So, and then since then, now I've gotten back into business, and I really focus on changing adversity into triumph. So, you know, tragedy into triumph more on a personal level. When we go through it all and we lose everything, how do we rebound from that? Have faith. Choose to look at that as empowering gifts, not as disempowering. Mm-hmm. Look at it as, it's kind of like what you mentioned a minute ago. Like, when you get lost, what do you do? How do you have faith and trust in yourself and that this is part of your purpose? This is where you're supposed to go. And then find a way to empower yourself to move towards that in a powerful way where you connect with yourself. You find faith, you find trust, you find vision, and then you go make it happen. Mm-hmm. And the bigger your vision gets, that's where it moves into business, because now you're able to take this vision, apply it, create a vehicle for transformation, a vehicle for change, where you have multiple people now, and you could change a lot more lives and serve a much greater vision.
Yeah, and one of the tools for that in helping people is the idea of incantations. Tell us what that is. Start from zero with that.
Yeah, so incantation, I initially got it from Tony, and here's an interesting way to look at it. Our body is the most amazing, think of it as like a computer, right? This is the most amazing machine on the face of the planet, and your mind is like a computer. And what does a computer run? Programs. So what programs are you running? You know, the money in your bank account is a direct result of the programs you're running about money. Your relationship is a direct result of the programs you're running about your relationships, your health, right? So your finances. So all these things are programs we're running. Most of us are running unconscious programs that came from like 0 to 7 in childhood, or right, we picked up in our life. And it's literally think of the stories that you're saying on an unconscious basis, on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Incantations are a way where you take your power back and you decide what you're going to say. And you decide, you go into the future and say, here's this vision, this mission that I want to create. What does that look like from the highest level? So connecting to yourself and to your center of your being, your sense of spirituality, your connection to who you are. What is that vision, that ultimate vision for your body, your health, your relationships, your business? And from that place, how do you write an incantation or a statement that's already in the present tense of what you want as it's already here? And then what you do is you repeat it with emotion, with energy, with vitality. So you basically think of it as you're setting the program.
You're reprogramming.
That you're going to consciously mm-hmm. tell, and you're going to reprogram it again and again and again and again and again until your reality starts to change.
Love that. I love that. So then can you give us some examples of, you know, about how they're utilized or places where people can improve or build?
Yeah. Yeah. So an easy metaphor to think of is, I like this example. There's an example of an old man who was talking to his grandson and said, you know, there's a battle within us. And I'm sure you've heard this story. And, you know, there's always two sides fighting. You know, there's the good wolf, where it's always fighting. The good wolf is about like peace and love and joy and forgiveness. And then there's the bad wolf, which is more about judgment and pain and suffering and struggle. So, you know, the little boy said, well, which wolf wins? And it's like the one you feed. So the way that you can apply it is.
I haven't heard that. The one you feed. Ooh, that gave me the chills.
The one that wins.
Yeah.
So which one are you feeding? And I'll give you my own personal example of how to apply it, because it still happens. It's not like you wave a magic wand, you learn these tools,
and that's that.
Your life changes.
Right.
It's you go through life and something happens. Most recently, I left one of my largest clients and said, I'm recreating a new path. I didn't have a plan. And for a moment, I found myself going into the stories of like, oh, what's going to happen? Fear, scarcity, lack, which, you know, we go through when we make big change and you follow that vision inside. And I caught myself and said, wait, no, that's not the feed. That's not the wolf I'm going to feed. What's the vision I want? What's the empowering vision that I want? So I created a number of them. So for example, one of them is problems need energy to live. And I think that's powerful. So to tie this in with the wolf scenario,
mm-hmm.
think about it. What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on what you don't want? Are you hearing the stories of maybe your relationship, your partnership, which you mentioned earlier? Maybe mm-hmm. it's not working. Are you focusing and moving towards what you don't want? Are you feeding the wolf that you don't want? Or are you feeding right. the wolf that you do want? Are you focused on what you do want to have? Are you focused on what you want to create? So one I use for wealth is, you know, God's wealth is circulating in my life. His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. All yeah. my needs, desires, goals, and dreams are met instantaneously by infinite intelligence, for I'm one with God, and God is everything. So whatever it is, if I feel lack, I just repeat that again and again and again and again and again, and I change my focus and my program. So
yeah.
I'd say whatever you're doing, just start to become conscious of where you're focused.
Mm-hmm.
And when you notice yourself focused on what you don't want, interrupt yourself and just literally start to say that phrase that you do want over and over and over again, and build that as a ritual.
And you've given a couple of examples already in some of the challenges that you've had, but how have your experiences in this area made you stronger, a better leader? How does this play into what you do and the work that you know, people you serve?
Yeah, great question. I find that for me, it's a daily practice. So the way to integrate it, our rituals are who we are. We want to change our life. We raise our standards, and it comes to rituals. So for me, a daily ritual I do every day is I take time to be grateful for who I am. Take time to be grateful that I'm here, what I can focus on to be grateful. And I say my incantations of what I'm creating. And how it's made me a better leader is as I take time for me and to focus on more how I can serve, and especially when I'm going through tough times, like I focus on a lot of forgiveness work. And mm-hmm. I find we make a lot of mistakes. Inherently, if you're an entrepreneur and you have big visions, you're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes.
For sure.
So how do we love ourselves enough to pick ourselves back up, to forgive ourselves for making the best choice we can, and to keep making progress forward. And I'll say this, look at yourself. Imagine you're in your rocking chair and you're looking at the end of your life and you're looking back. And what's that vision or mission? What's that legacy you wanted to leave? And did you leave it? And if you didn't, you have a responsibility to the people you're there to serve, to the unique part of you, the way that you're wired. You can serve somebody. You can help somebody become better. Mm-hmm. To tie it back to what you initially said, we're here to serve. We can really leave an amazing legacy. And you have that vision in you. A lot of times we're just scared of it. So I would say make a commitment to yourself that you're willing to love the people more that you're here to serve than the fear. You're going to give more energy to your dreams than to the problems, right? You're going to give more love and energy to that vision to make it happen because you're here to leave a legacy.
That's amazing. So what's an experience or a lesson or disaster that you've survived that you are willing to share with us and something you learned from it?
Yeah, so I was telling you about a story where just a little while back where I lost everything. On top of that, I lost my brother. So my brother is one of the closest people to me, and he died. And on top of losing everything, I felt like I was at like the bottom and I was naked getting kicked. And I had a lot of really intense judgment on myself. And I don't know if you're an achiever like I am. We're not taught a lot about learning how to deal with loss. And so I dealt by numbing in a way of achieving. So it worked really well. But what I did find is I had a lot of unresolved emotions and feelings and guilt and judgment on myself. And so forgiveness is a lesson that I want to share. I have just a simple phrase is just, I forgive myself. I forgive you. Please forgive me. And I'd say, you know, and the next time you find yourself in guilt and judgment, maybe you lost a loved one. Mm-hmm. Maybe you went after your dream and you failed and you're beating yourself up for it, or your relationship, you did something you weren't supposed to do, or you made a financial investment and you lost everything. Like, know that that's inherently built in. And my lesson was to know that I'm doing the best I can with the tools that I have and to constantly work on a place of forgiveness. Yeah. And to be gentle and loving and kind with myself. And I'm finding the more gentle and kind I am with myself, the more kind I can be with others. And then this translated into two lessons. There's only giving love and taking love. So the next time you notice somebody doing something, if they're not giving love, they just need love. So just give them it. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to have more compassion. So I guess is the remaining lesson is it's all about compassion. And the more we can learn to love and be compassionate with ourselves, the more space we can hold to be compassionate with others.
Ah, amazing. You're just filling my heart with all of these awesome things. But if we could share, and you already have shared so many, but if you could share an action or a takeaway for people when they walk away from this podcast after listening and watching, what could they start doing differently today?
Yeah, I'd say one is, you know, like look through the trees beneath your fears and limitations and, you know, self-doubts and reach inside to your soul and figure out what is that purpose? What is that part of you that you know, everybody knows, we're just afraid to look at? And I'd say make a commitment to that part of yourself that you're going to take one step forward. You're going to make daily progress towards that. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to know it all. You're just going to take one step towards that. And then as you start to make more steps towards that dream or that vision, that purpose, you're going to start to create present tense statements and add those in a ritual that it's happening for you, right? Mm-hmm. So like life is happening for you, not to you. So again, get clear on that dream you want to focus on, decide to commit to make progress towards it, just daily progress. And then write, again, fill your mind with the programs that are going to support you in achieving that, not achieving it. Mm-hmm. That would be my action and takeaway, and make that a ritual. Make it something you do every day where you're taking space to you to connect more with whatever that vision is from a spiritual part, like in the quietness, in the space, is where we get to listen. So make time each day to be quiet and listen to that, whatever that part is inside of you, and follow it and trust it and take steps and choose to trust and have faith that it's all going to work out. It's all going to be, you may go through struggle. You may go through, you know, great change and challenge, but that's going to make you stronger like a rock. So reflip your pain and your struggles. Mm-hmm. And I'll share this one more story. One of the entrepreneurs that he has a $60 million company. He's a mentor of mine that I really respect. I was looking at all my failures as hardcore failures because I had a seven-figure business. I lost it, and I was beating myself up as a failure. And I kept telling myself that story. And I was talking to this mentor, and I said, who would you look for in a partner? And he said, you know, I would ask somebody what their greatest failure was. And if they haven't gone after a dream and failed massively, I wouldn't work with them because they haven't learned humility. They haven't learned strength. They haven't learned compassion. And all of a sudden, in one moment, I went from thinking my greatest challenge was so weak to all of a sudden thinking that was one of my greatest strengths. Because now I have that humility and still that passion. So I'd say whatever it is, if you've gone after it and failed, It's actually your greatest strength, not your greatest weakness.
This is who you are. I love it. If people want to get in touch with you, how should they do that? What's the best way?
Just to go to joshuawenner.com.
Great.
Again, joshuawenner.com is the easiest way.
And then at Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are all at Joshua Wenner, right?
They're all Joshua Wenner.
That's great. And so that makes it really easy as well. So thank you so much for sharing a piece of your life and your lessons. I appreciate it. Now, you know, before we let you go completely, you've been to Burning Man a few times also, right?
Yeah, this last year was my 14th year. I go every year.
Really?
I actually do a camp with my parents.
Cool.
So we have a first camp. It's now dedicated to my brother. And
it's
amazing. And people come with their parents and it's beautiful. I love it. It's, to me, it's my one place that I go to really, as you mentioned, be radically authentic and go back to the core of who we are, to get clarity of who are our gifts and how can we share them.
Right. With your parents. Oh, right. I'm going to use this as an invitation to get the parents out there. I don't know. It's going to be a hard.
Yeah.
Be awesome. Well, thank you so much again for being a part of the Strategic Hot Box today. I really appreciate it. And I'll talk to you soon.
Great, Brandy. Thanks so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Dawin Manzano from Trinidad and Tobago, the land of soca, calypso, and limbo.
Hi, I'm Janelle Chalet-Smart. I'll be coming to warm tropical island where the doubles are, the shark and big of Maracas Bay, and you are listening to the one and only Brandy Stankovic on Strategic Hot Box. Hey, go Brandy,
go Brandy.
Thank you to Janelle and Dorwin for doing the shout out. It's so cool. And then they make Trinidad sound like such an amazing place to go visit, Trinidad and Tobago. And thank you again to Josh Winter for being a part of the podcast today. Now is your favorite time, my favorite time. Now it's time to kick some ass. And here's your top five. The first is to just do you. Know what your authentic self is. Learn about it. Absorb it. Josh gave so many recommendations on how to really live and breathe in that. But to know what you want to be and what you want to go after. There's no reason anymore with the world of life balance and access that we have the tools to just incorporate as much of you into the things that you're doing from day to day. The second is to promote emotional well-being. I loved Josh's example of people are either taking love or giving love. And if you see somebody that isn't giving love, then clearly they need to get some. So to give people around you as much love as you possibly can, I think that's amazing and something that I was sure to be taking away. But it's about promoting the emotional well-being of the people that are around you, because I think that you're amazing. Now it's time for you to think that you're amazing. Number three is focus on your why. What's your great purpose? Why are you here? Why do you do what you do? Why do you work as hard as you work? Why do you get up out of bed and make things happen every day? And make that the forefront. And I loved in Josh's examples of chanting and using those tools, reprogramming the brain to focus on what you want, not what you want to get rid of. And four, search the soul. Know what's inside. Don't have a midlife crisis. Have an all-life crisis. Like the entire life, just get to know yourself. Do the things you want to do. Live full out. Live fully. And just search and love your soul. And the final one is to practice gratitude. Be grateful for the things that you have, grateful for the planet that we live on, this universe that we're a part of, the people that you're around, the relationships and the humans and the world that you get to serve. Because this is a pretty special place. I feel very honored to be here with you, for you to be listening to me in this moment. So thank you. This is an opportunity for me to say thank you to everyone listening. And just now, really, go kick ass. Thank you again to Josh. I appreciate everyone that's a part of the podcast, especially our guest speakers. Thank you to Josh Winter for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you on topics that you want to cover here on the Strategic Hot Box podcast. Hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at Strategic Hot Box or at Brandy Love, L-U-V, or email us at podcast@strategichotbox.com. And for ongoing access to me, my executive coaching tools, leadership development, exercises, worksheets, books, a network of people that are making shit happen, go to thestrategichotbox.com right now. But until next time, get out there and kick some ass.